Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. It was a very, very talented group, and I think they loved the Lord all the times they spent around them. The happiness you see and the encouragement you see from them is something that's sincere and real, and I think that's a wonderful thing to have God excited about serving the Lord. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Psalms 19 tonight, not 119, Psalms chapter number 19. As we are, a few weeks ago, we gave you that 40-day challenge about keeping track of what God's, your prayer time and your Bible reading time. If there's a couple more notebooks back there, if you did not have the chance, and you say, Pastor, it's a little difficult to do, and it's not the easiest thing to do, even if you miss a day, just keep on. The idea is to give you knowledge. Let the Lord speak to your heart through that, and let the Lord God see how much you've spent in prayer and Bible reading and going through those things, how God's worked in your heart and life, to show what type of priority God is in your life. Because God should be a priority. I think we all agree with that. God should be the number one thing in your heart. God should be the number one thing in your life. Amen. But when you read that and you look over those things, you say, is he really? And we like to say that. We like to portray that. But is he really, truly the most important thing to you? Now, last week we talked about Enoch. We talked about walking with God. We talked about if you're going to walk with God, you have to go on the, you have to agree on what direction you're going. We also talked about you had to agree what pace you're going. And you think about that, God's not going to change his mind. So you're going to have to go the same way God goes. And when you're talking about your walk with God, also talking about the same pace. You can't try to get ahead of God. You also can't be dragging your feet. So this week, I'd like to look at Psalms 19 to try to help us a little bit with our walk some more. One of the things that stop us in our relationship with God, our fellowship with God, is sin. And it breaks our fellowship with God. We even talked before, looked at last week a little bit about if we regard iniquity in our heart, sin in our heart, iniquity in our heart, God's not going to hear us. So tonight, this is a great chapter of the Bible. There's a lot of wonderful truths in it. Probably going to read the whole entire chapter, but what I'm interested in is in verse number 14. It's our theme verse for the week, or memory verse for the week. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. What David is saying here is that he wants the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart. Now, I believe where the words of your mouth come out of is what's in your heart. The Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches the importance of our meditation being right. It talks about what's in our heart. The Bible says, as we think, so are we. And so here in Matthew chapter number 12, the Bible says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Then he continues on saying, Jesus, O generation of vipers, how can ye bring being evil, speak good things. Listen, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're looking at verse number 14 here, it's saying, hey, look, I want my words to be acceptable to God, but I also want the meditations of my heart. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So how do we get to what's acceptable? Here's the question is, what truly is acceptable to the Lord? Because you see what it says in verse number 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. So it's not in anyone else's sight. It's not in my family sight. It's not in my church family sight. They're saying, hey, I want you to be satisfied. I want these things to be acceptable to you, Lord, not worrying about everyone else. Once again, how do we get there? Because if we want our walk to be right, and we don't want to get ahead of God, and we don't want to be dragging our feet, if we want our relationship to be right with God, there's something that we have to do. We have to live a life that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And how do we get there? So here's some things in this chapter I'd like to look at. So let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. Most of us are familiar with this chapter because of the famous verse in number one. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmness show his handiwork. And so we start off with the Creator. At the end, in verse number 14, it talks about the Redeemer. It's the God that we love. He is the Creator of the world, but he is also our Redeemer. What a wonderful transition that they go from the beginning and how we can be right with God, the Creator of the world, all the way to our Redeemer. verse number 2 says, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night show of knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And it's referring there that the testimony of creation that it has on a conscience, that the firmaments, they declare the handiwork of God, and they utter a speech day in and day out, night in, night out. There's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Each person through nature and creation can see there had to be a divine creator, that there is a God. Verse number 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And these are some great verses. We're not going to take time to dive into them too much, but look at verse number 5, which has a bridegroom coming out of this chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Verse number 7 through 9, you're going to notice, actually 7 all the way through 11, speaks of how we can know what is acceptable. It's the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. And we're going to look at these verses in just a few minutes. Let's finish up the chapter there. This is speaking about how to get right what is unacceptable. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let him not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing tonight on the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I truly desire that you give me the words to say. Lord, I don't want them to be my words. I just want to be a messenger tonight. I just want to give the words that you have from your holy word that you've given us. Lord, give me the thoughts there. Lord, also I pray that you help those that are listening tonight. God, that you give them ears to hear and listen on purpose. Lord, help us leave this place saying, I want my words and I want my heart to be acceptable. I want those things because I want a right relationship with you. Not just a relationship that I can have as a child and father, but instead a fellowship that is sweet. Fellowship where I recognize who you are and want to serve you as the Lord of this universe and the Creator God. Lord, speak to people's hearts about living a life that is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's some things here first. The first point in verses 7 through 11 is how to know what is acceptable. How to know what is acceptable. And you think about it, in the day and time we live in, there's lots of different people that believe lots of different things. There's a lot of people out there that will say certain things are acceptable to God. I was listening or reading the other day about a person who was a transgender, and the commentator or the radio host says, do you believe in God? And they said, yes, I believe in God. Do you think God would be displeased with what you do? And he said, no, what I'm doing is acceptable to God. That's not right. It's not acceptable because it's not found in the Bible. And so how do we find out what is acceptable? When it says that I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, what is it? Where is it that we find what is acceptable to God? It's found in his word. Psalms 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's God's word that teaches us and shows us what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Verses 7 through 11 gives some different descriptions there of his word, and I think it's important to look at. We're going to have to go through them quickly because there's so many here. But think what it says in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. So we think about his word, and when we learn what his law is, it's the fact that it's perfect. It's without error. Now, what does the law do? The law teaches us that we're sinners. The law teaches us that we cannot attain the law. You know, if we could do the law, then we could get to heaven on our own. But the Bible teaches us, and the law teaches us, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. His law is perfect. Next thing you think about what it says, the Lord is perfect, and it says it's converting the soul. It says the testimony of the Lord, it's sure. And I like this. It's sure. Sometimes there are certain things where we wonder, hey, is it okay to do this? Is it okay not to do this? You know, God's word is sure about it. It's not going to change. One of the things I love about God is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God says something, you can put it in the bank. If God says there's a promise, you know what? You can hold to that promise. If God says there's judgment coming someday, guess what? It is sure. It's not going to change. You keep on going, and you look what it says here. Not only is it perfect and sure, it says making wise and simple. Look at the next thing, the statutes of the Lord. All these things are giving a reference to God and his word. The statutes of the Lord are right. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people out there that are in authority that are not doing what's right. There's even some laws out there that might try to tell you something to do something that's wrong. And I think we always should obey God rather than man. But you even think of some of those false gods that were out there, and those false gods that would have their children go through the fire, or those asking them to do horrible, wrong things. They were wrong. They were serving someone who was wrong. They had something that they could not trust their God. They could not really live for their God because what they were asking them to do was wrong. And the great thing about God is, and his law is, it's always right. Amen. You don't ever have to wonder, did God get it right this time or not? Every single time, it's right. And how do we know what is acceptable? I mean, how do we know it's acceptable? It's found in his word because it's perfect, it's right, it's pure. Look at the next thing. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You think about it being pure, it's spotless. It's not unjust in any shape, way, or form. It's something that is pure. It keep on going. It says, the fear of the Lord, it's clean. And you say, well, how's the fear of the Lord clean? Well, you think about it, the fear of the Lord, it's clean, enduring forever. And we're told to fear the Lord. Now, I know some people will say, hey, that is not like we should live in fear of God harming us. And that is truth. That is reality. I think it's a respect. We want to reverence God. We don't want to disappoint God. But at the same time, part of the reasons why I don't do what's wrong is because I don't want God to judge me. I don't want to fall out of God's favor. I don't want to fall out of God's blessing. I don't know about you, if you had parents that you feared or not. I had a dad that I didn't, part of the reason why I didn't do what was wrong is because I knew I had to face up to my dad later on. That's something I did not want to deal with that. So because of that, it's something there, you know, how do we know what's acceptable? It's found in his word. It's perfect. It's right. It's pure. And it keeps us clean. Look at the next one. It just keeps on going. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're true. Pilate looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? Truth was standing right there in front of him. And so many times when the day and time we live in, people are like, what's true? It's here. It's right in front of us. This is truth. And you think about it, some people say, well, who gets to make up the rules? God's the one that created the world. God is the one that has made the world. God is the one that gets to say what the laws are. You think about it. If you say, well, I don't like that law, does that change the law? Go up and you go up off the top of the church building and you take a step off the roof. You can say, I don't like the law of gravity. Is that going to change the law? It's not going to change anything. But when you take that step off, it's going to show you that God's law is right also. It's true, but also you see the next thing, it's right. They are right every single time. It's righteous altogether. So how do we know what's acceptable? It's found here. But look what it says in verses 10 and 11. Not as just finding out what's acceptable, there's a reward attached to understanding God's law. It says, there's more to be desired as they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. So it's not just finding what's acceptable to God. The psalmist is saying, I learned his statutes, and I know as I follow his commandments, there's great reward. And in our walk with God, our journey with God is something that has great reward to it when we follow his word, and we follow the truths that are found in his word. So how to know what is acceptable? Second thing I want you to think about, and this is probably the spot that I'd like to probably spend the most time at, or at least I think it's the most powerful part of the message, is how can I change, or what do I do to change what is unacceptable? Because the reality is most of our walks of God isn't what we like them to be. Most of us, when we go through that challenge and we're looking and saying, you know what, I only spent five minutes praying to God yesterday. I only spent 5 minutes in his word, and that's more than what most Christians do. Okay, I see what's acceptable. So now how do I change what's not acceptable? And look what this verse is saying. I see David here, and I see this man after God's own heart, and he's saying, who can understand his errors? I began thinking about that, and that was one of my verses I marked down as the sheets to be thinking about throughout this week. It says, who can understand his errors? And I'm thinking, well, we all know when we do things wrong, right? We all know when we sin, but the Bible's saying here, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So it's not just referring to those faults that we do and that we know that they're sinning. The psalmist here is saying, if I'm going to get what is unacceptable to become acceptable, I'm going to have to go to God. And as I go to God, I'm going to have to ask God for help, because he says it right here. He says, who can understand his errors? Who really knows what it is that they're doing? Now, if it's a presumptuous sin, that means that we know what's wrong and we continue on doing it. That's one thing. He's saying that there's sin out there, and there's sin that's in our hearts and sin that's in our lives that only God's going to be able to reveal to you. Have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? I know I have. I'm doing something. And then someone comes up to you and says, you know, that's the wrong thing to do. Curtis Jones, I know most of you guys know, I had a saying that I used to say a long time ago, and I never knew this, but it was, at least I didn't think I knew this, I picked it up somewhere. I used to jokingly say this line to somebody, and then Mr. Jones came up to me after hearing me say it a number of times. He says, did you know that's a line in a rock song? No, I didn't. I took it by surprise. He says, oh yeah, and he told me the name of the song, and he told me, and I was like, I've been saying that for years, and I'm a preacher. I mean, there's something wrong there. I'm missing the boat here. There's something I should have known better about, and I didn't do. And that's what the Bible is saying here. He says, who can understand his errors? There's really only one that can, and that's God. Remember where the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? And what's that next phrase? Who can know it? Who can know it? And then God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, I think that what this verse is, David is saying here, and what God is trying to speak to us, if you really want your heart to be acceptable and you want your words to be acceptable, because a lot of us use that. I know people use that as their life verse, people who use that as a theme verse for a year. I want my mouth to be right, and I want my heart to be right. I want them to be acceptable in my sight. I want you to be my strength, my redeemer. People that use that as a verse, but they're missing that God says to get to there, you're going to have to go to him and say, Lord, I want you to search me. Psalms 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When this verse says, Lord, I want you to know my heart, I want you to try me and know my thoughts, you think about it, does God know those things? He sure does. So why is David saying, hey, I want you to search me, I want you to know my heart, I want you to try me, I want you to know my thoughts? God already knows those things. What David is asking, he's saying, I want you to reveal those things unto me. This is something I want you to relay to me. This is something I want you to show me. This is something I want you to open up to me. I want my heart to be so right, and I want to be so acceptable to you that I'm willing to get on my face and say, God, please show me in the errors, my secret faults. Those things I don't even realize what I'm doing is wrong. Those things that maybe the rest of the world see, but my heart has become so hard, or I'm such a fleshly person that I don't even realize that I'm being rude, that I'm being unforgiving, that I'm being obnoxious. I don't even see those things. And I think many times in our lives, we don't realize that we have sin that the rest of our friends see, but our friends are not willing to be friendly enough to say, hey, do you really realize what you do when you say those things? Do you really realize that this is what it shows? And once again, I'm not saying that you should walk around judging other people, but I'm also saying that you can be a help and a blessing to someone else. As I mentioned last week, my wife many a times have come to me. Remember, she wasn't here last week. She wasn't feeling. Was it last Wednesday I talked about you? You don't even remember. You were out of town at camp. That's right. We talked about her. Remember, you weren't allowed to say it. I let it out of the bag. But I said there's been times in my life when my wife has come to me in a very well, sometimes in a very kind way, and not always in a very kind way, and says, do you realize when you say that, what it portrays? And it helped me. Maybe not that first second, because I don't really like being corrected. I definitely don't like being corrected by my wife, but she's the one that loves me. Thankful for that. But sometimes these are secret faults. Who knows about them? Maybe the church doesn't. Maybe your family doesn't know. But God knows. And that's when the scripture says, search me, O God. If we truly want in these 40 days to get closer to God, and we don't know what's hindering the fellowship. I try, Pastor. I try to pray. I try to read my Bible. And it's like hitting a brick wall. I'm beating my head against the wall. I don't see. I don't understand anything out of it. I don't get the great reward that it talks about in verse number 11. What am I doing wrong? One of the best things we could do is, God, I see what this verse is saying. I know that I do not understand everything about my errors. I know that I am not perfect. I know that I fail. I know that I am human. And I need your help, Lord, to reveal unto me the areas that I struggle in. And then we go to him and ask, who can understand his errors? And David's saying, cleanse me from my secret faults. And how can we get cleansed? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. How are we going to confess them? How are we going to agree with God if we don't know them? We need to ask God. God, if there is something in my life that is hindering my fellowship with you, something in my life that you do not find acceptable, reveal that unto me. And then when you reveal it unto me, I'm going to agree with you and I'm going to repent of that and I'm going to ask you to forgive me. So I can be cleansed from that. Because you see, there's a downward spiral here. You see, first of all, it says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. The second thing is, not only is it dealing with the secret faults where other people might not know it, but God does. And I think the best of men will realize that we have a fleshly nature and we need God's help to say, Lord, show me those areas in my life. I am too hard-headed. I am too stubborn. I live in a fleshly world, and I need your help to show me if there's something that's stopping me between you, my fellowship. Next thing is, not only this, he talked about this word presumptuous sin. And see what it says, keep back thy servant. Now, that phrase there, he's saying, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to be your servant. Now, I want you to cleanse me from the secret faults because I want you to hold me back from what's called a presumptuous sin. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now, when I thought about that word presumptuous, I was trying to figure out the best way to explain it, but it's from known sins, evident sins. There are some people who do a sin, and don't say some, most people who have a sin in their lives that they struggle with, that they do even though God would not appreciate it. Even though they know they're sinning against the one true God, they will continue on not doing what they know is right. Pastor, I would never do that. Really? I mean, the Bible tells us to meditate on his word. Do we do that? Do we read the scriptures? Do we pray like he's asked us to? Are we a person that tells other people about Jesus Christ? Those are all commands of God. Are we people that are forgiving? Are we people that hold bitterness? Are we quick with our tongue? There's so many different things, and I'm not trying to pull out what the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can pull out, but what I am trying to tell you to do, if you presume upon God's grace and say, God, I know what my sin is, and I know what I'm doing is wrong, but at this moment in time, I don't care. That's what a presumptuous sin is. That is something I'm going to do no matter what my knowledge is, no matter what the Word of God says, and that's where if we don't deal with the secret faults, our sins become presumptuous. They become, I know I struggle with that area, I'm just going to keep on doing it over and over. Kids do that when they disobey their parents. I know my parents will not like this, but, get rid of the buts. I know this might be gossip, but I know this, I know that. And we got to realize when we are continually doing something that God has spoken to our heart at, or the Bible has clearly told us, we are presuming upon God and saying, God, I know you're Lord, and I know you're creator, and you're God, but I'm going to keep on doing this anyway. That's a dangerous spot to be in. But many of us don't even see that. Why is that? Because we have these secret faults that we've never dealt with, and we continue to live in them. And that's why we need to understand that we are not servants of sin. we have been, in a sense, with the Holy Spirit of God, have an enlightened mind. And the idea we know what's right and wrong because the Holy Spirit of God helps us with that. We have the Word of God. And He has given us to where sin does not have a dominion over us. Some people feel like those presumptuous sins are things that they have to do. I wish I was more patient, but I just don't have patience. I wish I wasn't such an angry person or such a hothead. No, those are presumptuous sins. God, the Bible teaches us that sin does not have dominion over us. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. We should not be living with presumptuous sins in our heart and presumptuous sins in our lives. We do not have to sin. I know our flesh sometimes screams for it. Our flesh sometimes feels like you have to do it. I can't not do this. But you can. It's by believing, by faith, by reckoning yourself dead, that you can take what was unacceptable and now make it acceptable to God because of the fact that you've dealt with the secret faults, you've dealt with the presumptuous sins in your life, and now, as it says here, it says, who can keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, that let them not have dominion over me, because many times Christians believe they have to sin, they don't. Then he says, then shall I be upright. That means that we're going to be doing right. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. You see, the secret sin that comes to the presumptuous sin that becomes the great transgression. And they're all sin. They're all wrong. But what God is telling us and showing us is if we want to do things that are acceptable, because that's the goal in verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let it be acceptable. God, I want to be acceptable. I want my words to be right. I want my meditations to be right. How do I get there? Well, we listen to the word. Well, how do I take those things that are unacceptable and make them acceptable? We fall on our face before God and say, God, take those secret faults. Reveal them unto me. Help me deal with those so that way I won't be doing those presumptuous sins, those sins that I know that I should not be doing and I continue on doing because I'm living under the bondage of sin. That's what it says here in verse number 13. It says, let them not have dominion over me. They should not have dominion over me. I should be able to get victory here. I should be able to clear up my heart. I should be able to clear up my life as I'm dealing with the secret faults, the ones that nobody else knows, that even myself am not able to see them. And then I see these presumptuous sins that I continue to do over and over and over, but don't seem like I can have victory from. That's when we ask God for help. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You need God's help. You need the Holy Spirit's help. You need Him. David here, the man after God's own heart, is saying, I need your help. Cleanse me from my secret faults. He says, help me, keep back thy servant from these things. I don't want to do the great transgression. I want to be innocent from those things that are going to bring blaspheming to your name. I want to be innocent from those things that are causing the problems. You know, who knows, maybe David, when he committed that sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, maybe he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Yes, the kings went out to battle. It's easy for preachers today. He should have been out there fighting the war. He should have been out there fighting the battle. But maybe David, maybe that was a secret fault. And maybe the lust that he had for Bathsheba was something he dealt with and he kept on dealing with and kept on dealing with and presuming upon God. And then you see how that caused an even greater sin. I want to encourage you here tonight that if you want your heart to be right with God, remember what is acceptable is found in His Word. Secondly, how you get it right is by depending on the Lord and asking God for help. But last but not least is, how do I continue to be acceptable? So, okay, Pastor, I got it right. Now, how do I keep on getting it right? I got everything clean. I got everything right. My heart is completely right from God. I'm asking Him to help me with my secret faults. What should I do now? Well, it says in verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So he's not talking about something in the past. He's looking at right now saying, I want what's happening right now, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen the next day. Yes, I might have been right yesterday. My heart might have been good, my meditations, my mouth might have been good today. But he's saying, no, I want it at this moment for my heart and my mouth to be right. So it's a constant thing. It's something that the Bible teaches us those things, how we can have victory in our thought life. Everything begins in our heart. So our meditations, when our meditations are straight, we will be straight. We need to have victory in our thought life. Think about it. If there's a man who is being mean to his wife, does he need to stop being mean? Yes, he does. How does he do that? He gets his heart right. How do we stop using bad language? Well, yeah, I want my mouth to be right. Well, if you get your heart right, then your mouth's going to be right. And it's the meditations. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, it teaches us it's a spiritual battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is a continual thing that says, if I have a bad thought, that's not a sin. But when I consider that thought and continue to consider that thought, it becomes a sin. But if I take that imagination or that thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, and if I'll take that and bring that into the obedience of Jesus Christ, then I've taken something that was unacceptable that could happen in my life, and now the meditation of my heart is not on something that's unacceptable, but instead it's on something that is pure. And like we in Philippians chapter number 4, it gives you a list of things that is acceptable to God. These are the things you're supposed to be accepting, being thinking on. These are things that you're supposed to be considering. So not only is it a continually working on the meditations of our heart, but also there's something here. He says, in thy sight, O Lord, and that next words, my strength. We need to realize that God's the one that gives us strength. We can't do this on our own. We cannot fight our Christian battle on our own. It's a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about the Lord being our strength. Think about what Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a great verse. How do I keep the things acceptable? Pastor, I got everything right. I'm on the way. I've dealt with the secret faults. I've dealt with the presumptuous sins. I have recognized that the word of God is what true. It says it right there. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Remember what Moses sang. He says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. He sang, the Lord was my strength. He just saw the Egyptians be drowned in the sea. He knew he didn't do that. And when we realize in our Christian lives, it's not about what we can do and say, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my redeemer, the Lord is the one that has done this. This is how we're going to keep things acceptable. It's when we start thinking, I can do this on my own. I don't have to hear what the Bible says. I don't have to hear what preaching says. I don't have to see what the Holy Spirit's prompting me to do. That's a presumptuous sin. We all need God's help. We all need something that says, Lord, help me with my secret faults. Lord, help me with my presumptuous sins. Lord, I don't want them to have dominion over me. Like it said in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we have joy when our heart is right, and we allow God to give us the strength to live day by day. So tonight, do you want your life to be acceptable? It just comes, do I really, truly want my life to be acceptable to God? And I'm not talking about my own thoughts, my own feelings, because they're not always acceptable. I don't know, when I was in school, I did pretty good on the test, but I didn't do very good on homework. I was lazy back in high school. And many times I would turn in what I consider an acceptable paper. I did the work, count the words. You ever count? They said it's got to be a 100-word paper. You know, my paper was 100 words, and that's it. Nothing over. And do something that was acceptable. And sometimes I got grades that showed that the paper was unacceptable. Sometimes in my own heart and my own thought, this was enough and this was good enough. And many times Christians will live their lives saying, this is enough. God will accept this. This is acceptable. Isn't that what Cain thought? He thought, hey, my fruit, my vegetables is going to be acceptable. Isn't that what Saul thought when he went and didn't kill Agag and went and brought home the best? He said, I followed the Lord completely. He didn't. He did what he thought God was going to accept, but he didn't go according to God's word. And when he didn't go according to God's word, what he thought was acceptable became unacceptable. So tonight, are we interested in being acceptable in God's sight? I'm not talking about us, because I think most people, one of us, if not more than one, have cheerleaders. Oh, you're a great Christian. You go to church on Wednesday night? Man, you must be really spiritual. Sometimes people give me compliments, and I say to myself, if they only knew my heart. If they only knew that when the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, I'm thinking, man, I'm not very good. I need God's help. I rely on God. I depend on God. Because if not, I'm going to think something's acceptable when all reality is completely opposite. Still remember that transgender man who thinks he's a woman saying, yeah, God's fine with what I'm doing. Now, we would never, ever say that. That would be blasphemous to us. But how many of us take certain areas of our life and say, God's fine with this, even though his Bible says it's not? So tonight, and the whole point is getting closer to God this week, in these 40 days, and say, if I'm going to be closer to him, you know this verse, I think it says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. But the next verse, and I'm not going to quote it because I don't know, but it talks about cleaning your hands. It talks about cleansing, making sure that our hearts are right and our hands are clean. Because we're not going to draw nigh to him until we realize, I want to do only what is acceptable in your sight. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for